It is the Fantasy Focus 06010 presented by Geico. Normally, you hear Field Yates' voice, and you will very soon, but Matthew Berry here sitting next to Stefania Bell. And Stefania, we recorded our podcast like we normally do in our TV studio, and then as soon as we got out, there was news that broke. So you and I, Field, of course, is already off to Brooks Brothers or whatever, but you and I decided to come to a studio because we're the hard workers of the show.
We're committed.
Right, we're committed. You and I came to a different studio here at ESPN just to record this because as soon as we got off the air and news out of Tampa Bay broke.
Right, and Rick Stroud reporting that Bucs wide receiver Chris Godwin fractured his left index finger while making a touchdown catch on Sunday in Las Vegas, and he required surgery on Tuesday. So he is definitely out for Monday night's game. We know that he finished the game, so this came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, right. So I think the question becomes here, Stefania, is, all right, so they're already saying, like, he's out for this week's game against the Giants, right? The Monday night game against the Giants. Understood. But in terms of long-term prognosis, Stefania, and it's obviously hard because you're just getting this news. You haven't had a chance to work your sources. You haven't gotten any details about this, about the finger. But I guess give us a range here. What's kind of best case and worst case scenario here for those of us that have Godwin on our roster?
Well, the fact that he required surgery for a fracture meant that they needed to realign it properly. And often there's hardware involved. So it's really a question of, number one, getting the wound healed. And then what can the player do and how soon can he do it? And that is a huge wide range. And as you said, without detail on the location of the break or the extent of the work they had to do, it's hard to give any clear idea. I will note, though, that Rick Stroud himself, when reporting this, said depending how it heals, he could potentially return for the Week 9 game. So it sounds like they're optimistic he could potentially return. Of course, beyond the safety parameters post-surgery, et cetera, there's also the issue whenever it comes to a running back or receiver with a hand injury, can you be effective playing? Can you control the ball? Can you catch the ball effectively? Those will all be questions that have to be answered before he can return.
Right. I mean, like, most famously, I think about David Johnson, who missed the season, and everyone's just like, well, it was just his thumb. What's the problem? It's just his thumb, right? But, you know what I mean?
Like, I know. You never know at the beginning, so we will wait and see how it plays out. But it does sound like what they're happiest about is that they got to it quickly, they addressed it, and they expect a full recovery.
Which is all great news. Worth noting here about Mike Evans, who's been up and down, but the three games so far this season, it's been kind of a snake bit season, if you will, for Chris Godwin, has had to deal with a bunch of different injuries. But in the three games in which Mike Evans has played this year without Godwin active, he's been a top 25 wide receiver in all three of those games. Our colleague Mike Clay noting on Twitter just as soon as this news broke that, you know, obviously they're playing the Giants, which means James Bradbury, who's been nothing short of terrific. But Evans has been playing more to the slot recently, as Mike notes, and so, you know, makes sense for them to try to avoid Bradbury even more. My expectation is you'd see some more Scotty Miller, who obviously is coming off the big game. And how about Tyler Johnson as well, who had kind of a big game there when Godwin is out. So lots to get to between now and Monday night. But the important part here is that as you hit your waivers tonight, understand you won't have Chris Godwin this week and potentially longer. And certainly makes if it is a longer absence, there's obviously more of a role for Antonio Brown when he joins the Buccaneers in week number 9. For Stefania and myself, we now turn it over to our regularly scheduled broadcast. Here's Field.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico, and we are on to week 8. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, Daniel Dopp, and the entire crew hanging out with you on Tuesday, October 27th, as we have turned the page from week 7 onto week 8. And let me start here.
I just turned the page.
Yeah, wow.
It's a big page.
Right,
it's a big page. I need the big font with my old eyes.
Comic Sans font.
I feel like Bob Seger should have walked in and done that for you, no?
Oh, yeah, a little turn the page reference. Yeah,
all
nice.
Right, there we
nice.
Go.
Are you a Bob Seger fan? Being from the Motor Cedar that
my dad once opened a show for Bob Seger a long time ago in his music career.
Really?
Yeah, that was like his big claim to fame, was being able to open for Bob Seger. So
that's a solo act.
It was Seger the band.
Is it a band or a solo act? How would you consider?
Bob,
it?
I think.
I mean, was it Bob Seger and the Silver Bill Band, or was it like before?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was Bob Seger before the Silver Bullet Band. I think it was the record before that.
Okay. But still.
It was a big deal, man.
That's a big deal. What is your dad's claim to fame?
My dad's
like his big, like
fame.
Sort of random claim to fame. Not that he isn't accomplished or that he
correct
that he's a son that was, you know, that was a mediocre Wesleyan football player. But wow. Like, what was like
mediocre is a compliment from what I hear from.
I mean, whatever. You're the backup long snapper. But all right, go ahead.
Starting. My dad's claim to fame is he was high school roommates with Al Gore. How about that? And my dad actually tangentially invented the internet.
That I mean, like, wait, I got to hear that story.
I feel like is that real though?
No, it's real.
Dad was college roommates or high school roommates?
High school. My dad is from Hawaii. I think many people listening to this podcast know that. But when my dad was 14 years old, his parents decided to send him to boarding school at St. Albans, which is
all boys school. I know St.
Albans. Yeah, in D.C., Stefania.
Yeah.
Of course, Starfania.
Well, I went to boarding school in Virginia. Yeah. I know St. Albans.
So, and by the way, if St. Albans ever has another good season, Stefania will be a big fan. So say, like, I took a class there one summer and
it's an all-boys school, but whatever. Yeah. They have a sister school. Anyway, my dad was high school roommates with Al Gore. They were both boarding students. Is Al from Tennessee, right? I believe from Tennessee.
I believe that's right.
Yeah. So in any event, my dad is from Hawaii. And when you are from Hawaii, it's not easy to get home for Christmas breaks or even spring breaks or fall breaks or anything of the like. So he spent a lot of his time in some summers over at the Gore family farms. And like I said, my dad basically created the internet.
I want to hear that whole story, but that sounds like a whole...
Al Gore
invented the internet. Yeah, no.
Right, so I feel like my dad...
Yeah, of course, is basically his internet inventor adjacent.
Right, my dad has the iPhone 2, by the way, so he's very tech savvy.
Understood.
Yeah, he's
understood.
Got an iPhone 2 with a purple case. It's it's hilarious.
So here's my dad's obscure... My father's very accomplished, like Daniel's father, just like your father's, like Stefania's father. But my dad's sort of weird claim to fame in this realm is that my dad played Babe Ruth baseball as a kid, which is like which is sort of like a version of Little League, but it's the one up. And they were a very, very good. They finished second in the state of California.
Wow.
And so my father was really good. And he was the starting second baseman on this team. And of the 9 starting players, six of them went on to play Major League Baseball. And when my dad was 17, there was a 14-year-old kid that was on the team who wanted to pitch. And they said, no, you're not good enough yet. You got to go play right field. His name is Tom Seaver.
Wow. No way.
Wow.
So my dad played high school baseball with Tom Seaver, was on the same team, was on the same Babe Ruth traveling team with him as well. And it was just funny because I'm like, oh, my God, what was Tom Seaver's? It's like he was a scrawny freshman who wanted to pitch. And we were like, no, go out in the right field. And so not him, the coach did it. But the catcher on my dad's team was Pat Corrales, well-known as a manager, but was a major league catcher. And I believe I'm going to get this name wrong, but I want to say I think it was Dick Miller was the pitcher who ended up. It's either Dick Miller or Johnny Miller who threw a no-hitter in the major leagues.
I just
threw a no-hitter for the Reds.
This doesn't really seem to check out for me because if your dad was around with Tom Seaver, I know you lived through the Great Depression. So there's no way that your dad.
Right. I was going to go a different route, which is that so Matthew's father is incredibly intelligent.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Incredibly athletic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Stefania, I'm no biology major. Doesn't the apple, isn't it supposed to fall not that far from the tree?
Maybe there's a secret we don't know. Yeah.
I want to hear a Stefania dad story and then we'll move on, but we need to do this. Stefania, I need to hear from you.
Yeah, well, my dad, I think a lot of you know that my dad was a boxer. And back in the day when he was fighting, he used to spar with Sugar Ray Robinson.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Ebony knocked him out one time, too.
Yeah.
He's too modest to mention that. Papa Bell, of course, listening to the podcast on a daily basis.
Papa Bell is a big guy. He's probably I would say 6'4", Stefania. How tall is your father?
He probably was 6'2" at one point and maybe a little shorter now.
He carries himself bigger. He's a bad
Adrian
man.
Peterson vice grip for legendary handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Papa Bell, legendary.
Papa
handshake.
Bell is a legend. He's not a guy you want to mess around with. He's a bad, bad man. I say that with much love to Papa Bell. Oh, that's cool. What a fun random thing.
Back in 72 was the record that Seeger was touring when your dad opened up for him.
Sweet.
There you go.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, it's so great.
That is very cool. I just last random opening thing. This isn't dad's, but I'll just mention it because I can't imagine every other time I'll ever get to do this. But when I was in college, long time ago at Syracuse University, I opened up. Dennis Miller. You know, remember Saturday Night Live, Dennis Miller, Weekend Update. Dennis Miller came and did a show at Syracuse University for 1,100 people, and I was his opening act.
Stand up.
I did.
How?
Like,
okay. Dennis Miller, hilarious as it is.
Brilliant.
Think about how funny he must have been after you opened up for him.
I crushed.
This must have been amazing.
100% crushed.
Absolutely amazing.
100% crushed. I should tell that story. Well, I sort of told that story the other day, but Yeah, whatever. It would be
true. I can't even imagine that.
That's amazing.
The very short version of this is I told a small part of this in my column the other day. All right, I'll do 20 seconds, which is that there was a contest to find the funniest student in America.
Right.
The Doritos was running it, whatever. And so I entered it, and I ended up winning. So I ended up winning Syracuse. Like, it was a student judge contest. Yeah, I was actually a decent stand-up, believe it or not. And so whatever. And so I won that. And so then they were bringing in Dennis Miller to open up for the students. And they said, who's your opening act? He's like, I don't have one. Get somebody local. I don't care. And so they came to me and they said, well, you were just named Syracuse's funniest student. Do you want to open for Dennis Miller? So I'm like, yeah, obviously. And the brilliant part of it was so... So I do my little routine and Dennis goes out and he kills. He's great. He's a great, great stand-up for people. YouTube him, I'm sure he's a brilliant stand-up. And anyway, afterwards, I remember saying to him, I said, hey, just, I saw you watching my set. I'm just curious. Any advice? You're so great. You know, that kind of thing. Stuff. And he says to me, it's a fascinating conversation. He goes, looking back on it, he goes, here's a question. How important is it for you to get the laugh? And I said, what do you mean? He said, your delivery, he's like, you need to work on your stage persona. Again, I'm 18 years old at this point. He goes, but honestly, he's like, there's some really smart ideas in there. He goes, I think you're actually probably a really good writer. He goes, could you ever just write jokes and let somebody else get the laugh? He goes, I would focus on your writing.
No way.
He goes, because I think there's some really funny premises in there that, you know, need some fine tuning in terms of your performance. But like, there's actually, like, and he pointed out a couple of things, you know, just like, it was very genuine. Like, it was a very like cool conversation that I had with him. And I was just like, oh, writing. Interesting. Anyway, just that's a,
who would
that
have led to this? The two biggest influences in your career could be LaDainian Tomlinson and Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller, who of course at one point sat in the Monday Night Football booth, which
that's
is
right.
That's true. Oh, look at that.
Bringing it all full circle.
Monday Night Football.
No,
thank you, Matt Harrington, for that. Let's get to our recap of last night's game. The Rams win 24-10. Not the prettiest of games for those that like offense, but there were a couple of okay performances. We'll start on the Bears side, and let's be clear. If you're trying to make David Montgomery happen, you better reset your expectations. David Montgomery last night has 48 rushing yards. He has 5 catches on 5 targets for 21 yards, 11.9 fantasy points. Earlier on this season, I can't remember if this actually made the show, but Kyle and I were emailing pre-show, and I made the comparison of David Montgomery to basically Indianapolis Colts version of Frank Gore. You want somewhere between like 9 to 14 points? Sure, have at it. You want 22 points? You've got a better chance of starting a Niners third-string running back and hoping that Kyle Shanahan plays him a bunch and getting 22 points, because it's just not going to happen with David Montgomery. We keep highlighting a reasonable matchup. He keeps finding his way somewhere around the top 20 of running backs. He is what he is. He's average.
That, you know what, and that's a great call. It's so funny when you were saying, like, you know what a good comparison for him, and I just thought to myself, I said, I was literally going to say younger Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Like, he's much more of a floor play than a ceiling play, to your point. He's a running back version of, like, Cole Beasley. Yeah, right. I mean, like, you know, just like a guy like that, like,
well,
or
we'll talk about.
Old school Cole Thomas Beasley, like a Danny Amendola, old school Danny Amendola, just like a guy that, like, right. He's like, yeah, just a or old school Theo Riddick. You know what I mean? Like, back in the Detroit days, you could count on Theo Riddick between 8 to 12 points every week.
Yep.
Like, rare that he wanders into the end zone, but also rare that he completely bombs out. And that's what David Montgomery is. I feel like he's so sort of mediocre and kind of middle of the pack. Like, should he be the official running back of the 06-010?
Wow.
I mean, like, he's just, he's kind of like, that's us, right?
That's pretty good.
Mediocre fantasy advice. I'm just, you know, it's kind of what we do here.
Daniel has a question about him, so we can, I think that's definitely, it's got to be under consideration. But what do you got here, Daniel?
So, Smart Trade Decisions is formed by IBM Watson Field. And I do want to know, like, there's, understanding you're saying, I don't know what to do with David Montgomery. Yeah. Is he a buy low? Is he a sell average?
Here's the thing, that if I had David Montgomery, or if I was looking to acquire David Montgomery, here's a scenario where it happens. Let's say that you have J.K. Dobbins on your roster right now. You're holding J.K. Dobbins for some reason. Or he's available in your waiver wires, which, by the way, I'm seeing him available on an increasing number of waiver wires.
Yep, agreed.
If you had J.K. Dobbins, would you trade him for David Montgomery? Because right now you cannot use J.K. Dobbins. You
Correct.
Cannot. However, there is a who has a better chance
right.
of having five games of 20 points for the rest of the season? David Montgomery or J.K. Dobbins?
Dobbins. So I think the answer to your question here, Field, is...
What do you need?
What do you need? Like, it depends on the rest of your team. Like, because if you're sitting here and you're like, I've been making, like, I lost Saquon. I picked up Mike Davis. I'm about ready to lose him, right. basically. And, right, and you know, I've been sort of piecing it together. And I'm, you know, nervous. My number two running back has been like, you know... I'm trying to think of a good example.
Are you literally speaking about my Wormley team right now?
I mean, basically. Like,
no, I'm sorry. But whatever, like, I lost
Saquon. But no, but it's
I have Mike Davis.
Right.
He's about to go probably.
Right.
Just,
and then
know?
Like you've got like Mark Ingram or somebody like that or just like even if – I know he plays on the same team as Dobbins, but somebody like that who you're just like piecing together. James White as your running back too, whatever, right? So you've been piecing it together. And so yeah, then I think in that case, you know, give me Dave Montgomery. Good. That's 12 points in the bank every week that I don't have to worry about, and I'll try to find upside elsewhere. But if you're like, you know what, I'm good. Like I found a couple of guys that I believe in here, you know, like whatever. I've been riding, you know, Kareem Hunt, and you know, I'm trying to think of another good like that you could have just picked up guy.
James Robinson.
Yeah, James Robinson. Exactly. Perfect. Great. Right. You've got Derrick Henry and James Robinson, right?
You're
you know, good. Whatever. And so you're looking pretty good. You're feeling good right now. And so, you know, or whatever, James Conner, somebody hasn't been hurt yet, whatever. You have Chase Edmonds sitting on your bench. We'll talk about him in a second. Then I don't mind taking the flyer on J.K. Dobbins because I agree with you. The upside, here's what David Montgomery's going to do. He's not going to lose your league.
Right.
He ain't going to win it for you, but he's not going to be the reason you lose your league because he's going to be like, he's a floor play. But the way you win your league is with the James Robinson types, right? With the potentially Chase Edmonds types, potentially J.K. Dobbins, somebody that we think has a lot of talent that just needs that opportunity. And so far for J.K. Dobbins, it hasn't gotten there yet.
So if you're going to construct a trade in which you are giving away David Montgomery, I would be targeting a player that has some upside, maybe a lot lower floor. And then conversely, if you're looking for David Montgomery, it's because you can't wait any longer on J.K. Dobbins to make things happen. Let's keep it rolling here with the Bears. Not a ton more to add. Allen Robinson, 4 catches for 70 yards. This is Allen Robinson's 7th season in the NFL. He has basically played with bad quarterbacks throughout it. And Nick Foles, accomplished Super Bowl MVP. I hear you. I feel you. If I'm not mistaken, they have gone under 300 yards of total offense in 4 straight games. Allen Robinson is what he is. The ceiling is going to be there on occasion because he's really talented, and some weeks they may have to throw it to him 8 or 9 times, but you're going to have to live with the 4 for 70 like he gave you last night. Jimmy Graham had 5 catches last night, but I think the interesting player, if there is an interesting player on this Bears offense that maybe we're introducing into the fantasy radar, is Cole Kmet. And I understand that, like, I am the person on this podcast that routinely sort of downplays, like, we got to get into these tight ends because they're so dime a dozen and they're so unpredictable. After the game, Matt Nagy said, we have to play Cole Kmet more. He's their second round pick. First tight end off the board this year.
When they say we got to play Cole Kmet more, is he talking at quarterback? Because that might be helpful.
Might be helpful. Right. Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
Nowhere.
Something to think about, Matt Nagy. Just putting it out there. Just throwing it out into the universe. Something to think about. Direct snap to Cole Kmet. Can I... I think that's very interesting. Like, he was somebody, obviously, they highly thought of. Here's the weird part, though. I mean, we didn't discuss whether we were talking about Cole Kmet. I actually don't think... And I'm as anti Jimmy Graham as they come. I got to be honest, like, Jimmy Graham ain't their problem this year. Like,
I mean,
Jimmy Graham's been fine.
I understand. I'm just saying that, like, Cole Kmet is, if you just took all the pass catchers they have available right now and just got rid of positions, he's probably the second or third most upside on the roster. So obviously, Allen Robinson would be one.
Yeah,
Darnell Mooney is so fast.
I mean,
be number
that's
two,
the thing. I mean, Darnell Mooney got what, 7 targets last night, 9 targets, something
for
like that.
They 6 million air yards.
I know.
It was,
I mean, like,
unreal.
He he's somebody that having a couple of dynasty leagues. Like, I like
yeah,
him.
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, until they figure out the quarterback position, it's nothing. I want to say, though, I actually go back to Allen Robinson for 1 second. You were sort of like, it is what it is. I actually think Allen Robinson might be a buy low. I would make it.
Quarterback stinks.
Well, his quarterback does stink. Last night was his first game, and obviously he left early with a concussion, or not with a concussion. He was getting checked out for a concussion. We'll be clear there. But it was his first game with fewer than 9 targets this year. And look at their upcoming schedule. Like, they played the Rams. The Rams are a really good defense. I get it. Nick Foles was awful last night. There's no question about it. And whether they stick with Foles or go back to Mitch, whatever. It's going to be a challenge. But their next games, home to the Saints, at Tennessee, home to Minnesota, then a bye. Those are three defenses you can pass on. Those are three defenses that, like, I would feel good about having Allen Robinson. And after that game on national TV, Allen Robinson looked terrible. The whole offense looked terrible. I wouldn't mind making a little bit of a low ball offer on Allen Robinson. That kind of target share. Again, it's his only game of the year with fewer than 9 targets.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to go back to Allen Robinson.
I sure hope so. That's not a terrible idea. We'll see whether anybody actually takes the bait on a low ball offer for Allen Robinson. Let's get to the Rams.
Secret Squirrel, please note that Field Yates begrudgingly said it was not a terrible idea.
I will
just note
sure.
the date and time if you could, just so I can celebrate.
I was told that. I had to. Let's get to the Rams. Kind of a ho-hum night for them offensively, too, even though they win. 24 points scored in total. The best player, literally, for the Rams last night. No joke. Johnny Hecker, their punter, got the game ball from Sean McVay after the game. And he was awesome, to be clear. Jared Goff, 219 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 16.9 fantasy points. Actually a pretty reasonable output against this Bears defense, which is legit. It's the backfield that we're always going to focus in on. And Daryl Henderson came 11 yards short of winning the red zone. I won't be mad about it. It's okay. But he had 9.7 fantasy points. Malcolm Brown gets you 11.7 fantasy points as he gets the touchdown. This is what I've been talking about with you every week now.
Yeah.
And I know Cam Akers had 0 yards last night, but still, this is the point on this. Like, we're now at week 8.
But is it fair to say, listen, I think both Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown ran well yesterday. I didn't understand the play calling, to be honest. Like, the first two runs, Daryl Henderson has like 15 yards rushing in the first two runs. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. They're going to crush him on the ground, because that's the one place where you can go against Chicago is on the ground. And then they get away from it, and it's super weird. And they win big, so it doesn't matter. But the play calling was weird to me last night. Here's the thing on Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown, though. I actually think we can now level set on this this Rams backfield.
Okay,
right? It's a running back by committee. Henderson gets a series. Brown gets a series. Henderson gets a series. Brown gets a series. It does not. Both guys ran well. It does not appear that Cam Akers is going to be a thing unless there's an injury to either one of them. I prefer Henderson to Brown because of the upside. Brown ended up getting the touchdown. He had that amazing run from whatever, like 12 yards out, where he took like the entire Bears defense with him down to the one, and they gave it to him. We're not taking you out after that, and they gave him the touchdown. But I think Henderson's going to score more touchdowns over the year. They prefer Brown in pass protection. That much is clear. But it's a two-headed running back by committee. That's what it is. You're getting half the running back snaps with either Brown or Henderson. I prefer Henderson to Brown. Cam Akers is merely insurance at this point of the season.
All right,
we're 7 weeks into the season. I think it is. I actually do think we finally have clarity on the Rams running back situation. It may not be what people want, but I feel like, okay, now we know. Now we know. And they're both like, you know, more high-end flex plays and low-end RB2s than anything else. But like, okay, they're viable.
You probably wanted more last night out of the Rams wide receivers, the two of note, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, but it was also a really bad matchup. So Cooper Kupp gets you 11.9 fantasy points. Woods gets you just 5.5 fantasy points, 3 catches for 22 yards to go along with 4 rushes for 23 rushing yards. I know Josh Reynolds, Giga Maggies, Texas A&M, graduate Matthew, anything there, 15.2 fantasy points, but hard for me to buy into this speed sub and you can sustain over time.
It really is, especially when you think about the fact that this is the third straight week the Cooper Kupp has finished outside top 30 wide receivers, also the third straight week that he hasn't scored a touchdown. Robert Woods now has under 30 receiving yards in consecutive games, hasn't been a top 40 wide receiver in 3 of the past 6. So my point of bringing all those stats up are that if we're getting inconsistent fantasy production out of Robert Woods and my little Cooper Kupp, both of whom we think are much more talented than Josh Reynolds, it's hard to say like, oh, you know what? Josh Reynolds is a guy that's going to have consistent fantasy value in this passing offense. I just don't see it here as well, especially in a game in which Tyler Higbee missed. He was a scratch last night.
He was, yeah, but I thought maybe it was a healthy scratch at first, Stefania, as I think at one point over the weekend, Sean McVay basically suggested they'd have everybody available, and then Tyler Higbee wasn't available.
Yeah, I wasn't that surprised because he was a bit wishy-washy on Tyler Higbee on Friday. He said he banged his hand in week 6 and, you know, Tyler Higbee didn't do anything till Saturday, had a very limited practice. And he basically said, look, it's one of those things, we can go either way with him. And they were going to wait to Monday to make that decision. So this shouldn't cause him to miss more than just this past week.
Okay. And Gerald Everett stood to benefit last night. He had a receiving touchdown as well.
I have a question for you, Field, real quickly, and then we'll move on. But Cooper Kupp and my little Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Again, so I mentioned this
third straight week that Cooper Kupp finishes outside the top 30 wide receivers and third straight week without a touchdown. Is Cooper Kupp touchdown dependent for fantasy value? Now, he did drop a touchdown, which is uncharacteristic for him last week. But check out their upcoming schedule.
at Miami.
I'm okay with that.
It's not a great matchup. I mean, they have pretty good corners. It's a better matchup a better matchup for Cup than Woods, but whatever. It doesn't scare you, but it's also not a great matchup. Then they're on a bye. They're home to Seattle. You love that matchup. Then they're at Tampa Bay. So you don't love them at Tampa Bay. You don't love them in the bye. You do love them against Seattle. Miami's middle of the road. That's their next four games here. And so are you better off selling are you better off selling my little Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods if you can still get sort of top 20 wide receiver value for them, that's their name value? Because that's not what the production has been so far. And they're coming up in a stretch here, this next four games in which, you know, you don't feel great about their, you know, the only matchup of the next 4 weeks where you feel like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome, is the Seattle game, which you would expect to be high scoring.
I think so. Because name value certainly helps with those two guys. They both got paid like $15 million a year right before the season started as well. So they better not be touchdown dependent only.
Right. Are you saying they're both going to be on the Falcons next year? Is that your way of saying like they got paid and now they're going to be on the Falcons?
No, I don't. You know, interesting one. That's a good question. I don't know that it'll be that simple, and I prefer Woods to Kupp still.
I agree.
Woods consistently has more volume.
And they manufacture touches for him. He keeps getting rushed. Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. It's something that I'm just thinking about here. Like in a game in which Josh Reynolds and Gerald Everett get into the end zone, and a game in which they moved the ball.
They have good ancillary pieces on this roster, right? Like if it's not Josh Reynolds or Gerald Everett, it's Johnny Munt or Johnny Hecker throwing to some.
Listen, and they like Van Jefferson quite a bit.
They do. Interesting.
To think about. I'm not saying you must trade it, but I'm just saying like if somebody were willing to give you preseason value, because both guys were drafted as top 20 wide receivers, if somebody's willing to give you preseason value for those guys, I would think about it. I would definitely think about it, especially if you're sitting there after you're 4-3, you're sort of in the thick of it, and you're like, I got to win a couple of these next games.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest hurdle, and before we close a circle here, is just that, like, how many players right now that are top 20-ish wide receiver values would actually be available under these circumstances, given that so many of them have already had their bye? You know, like, we had a lot of disappointing players. We had a lot of players that are already injured, whether it's Odell or Michael Thomas, et cetera. Like, it might be hard to find a perfect partner, but something to at least consider. We'll talk about that more throughout the weeks ahead. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video, doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. ADT expert installers average 10-plus years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
I have no idea.
Well, you switch to Geico during Geicoween.
Oh.
October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geicoween, everybody.
Happy Geicoween, Daniel. All right, time for the Stefania Bell portion of the show. And Stefania, I got nothing. I'm sorry, but let me say this.
No, you know what? Stop. No. At least come to me. Thank you very much. Camera one, stop. You're out of this. I'm going to do this. It is time now for the best part of the show. Blah, 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 me and Field. Blah, 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 who cares? Now let's go to our very own star, Fania Bell, who yesterday won an award. The award-winning star, Fania Bell. You're like, wait a minute. I thought she's already won all the awards. And the answer is that's true. They're running out of awards to give star Fania Bell, capital letters, S-T-A-R. Stefania, tell everyone, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I want you to tell everyone about the award you won for Project 11.
It is a front page award from the Newswomen's Club of New York. The category was specialized reporting in sports. And yes, Project 11 won the award.
As well it should. So congratulations to you, to everyone at E60, and of course, Alex and Elizabeth Smith for their access and help during the project. So, award-winning Stefania Bell, please make us smarter. There's millions of injuries. Why don't we start in San Francisco with your beloved Deebo Samuel?
Yeah, see, I know what you did there. You're trying to make me feel good before I have to go and go through the 49ers. And yes. I had to keep notes because I cannot keep track of the 49ers backfield and wide receiver core. But Deebo Samuel, the latest to suffer an injury, well, maybe not the latest because there were multiple, but this last week suffered a hamstring injury that Kyle Shanahan originally said he expected him to miss some time. It's hard to know what some time qualifies as. Now, that means he's out this week, most likely out in week 9. And Nick Wagner, who covers the team for us, said for what it was worth, Shanahan made it sound like he might be available week 9 if it wasn't for the fact that's a Thursday night game. I will just point out that the 49ers have a bye in week 11, so things could get tricky. If guys are not getting better, they may choose to give them the extra time of the bye. So Deebo Samuel definitely out this week, potentially out a week or two longer. And meanwhile, Jeff Wilson, with a high ankle sprain, headed for injured reserve. They've already made that clear that he's going there. Obviously, you know you're going to get 3 weeks of an absence with injured reserve, but I suspect, given the nature of the injury, that this one will be longer. So who is left to play running back, you ask? Well, do you remember Tevin Coleman?
Yeah.
Out since week 2 with a knee sprain? Last week, he was considered a long shot to be activated from injured reserve. This week, it's looking like he could be activated from injured reserve. So I don't know if it's just suddenly he's doing much better or they're getting that much more desperate. But actually, Kyle Shanahan said he's hopeful to get him back in practice this week. And at least then they can make a decision about how he looks. Raheem Mostert obviously placed on injured reserve last Saturday after he, too, suffered a left high ankle sprain. So there you go.
That is a lot, Stefania. And that was what I was getting at when I said that I have nothing. Because every time we do an injury update, it invariably involves a 49ers offensive player, or three. We are going to address a couple of guys that might make the waiver wire. And just a little bit later on in the show, let's go to Arizona, same division, Stefania. And yesterday we learned that Kenyon Drake was maybe going to miss some time. We have a slightly clearer picture today.
Yeah, Adam Schefter reported that he was expected to miss a few weeks with what they called a small tear in an ankle, in his ankle ligament, or a slight tear, I think were Adam's words. And he also went on to say the Cardinals are treating it like a high ankle sprain. Well, remember, a sprain is a ligament tear. It just, the degrees indicate what the severity is. So the fact that they're treating it like a high ankle sprain sounds like it either is a sprain of the ligaments that support the roof of the ankle or the inside of the ankle, which is often injured in conjunction with the high ankle sprain. Either way, you saw that Kenyon Drake was in a lot of pain and had to be helped off the field. This is a multi-week injury.
All right, Chase Edmonds would be the next man up. And of course, they're on a bye this week. So if it is multi-week, it might just be one game missed for Kenyon Drake. We'll continue to reassess as we get more and more information coming out of their week 8 bye. Chase Edmonds does not qualify for the waiver wire based off of roster percentage. We'll continue to talk about him more and more throughout the show. Make sure you're at least checking for Chase Edmonds in your league. NFC West running back routine continues here, Stefania, in Seattle, where not one, but two, maybe even three players are banged up.
Well, we talked about Chris Carson yesterday and having a midfoot sprain and how the nuances of that can really make the time frame variable for anyone coming back from that injury. Now, Jeremy Fowler, our colleague, reported that Chris Carson hoped to make it a sooner return rather than later. Obviously, how functional he's able to be with this injury will dictate his timetable. Jeremy Fowler said that this week wasn't off the table, but it was considered a long shot. I'd be really surprised that if he were to come back this week, again, just given the nature of the injury and trying to protect his health long term. But it sounds like it's at least more encouraging than it could have been. Pete Carroll did note that Carlos Hyde also suffered a hamstring injury in last week's game. So he is now in question as far as his status for this week. Travis Homer.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like, I had to look at my
notes. Yeah, that was accurate.
I'm like, yeah, Travis Homer, knee contusion. So we don't know if he'll be available. So that leaves, this is my favorite name, DJ Dallas.
Yeah, right.
That's
fourth
right.
Fourth round pick, DJ
right.
Dallas.
DJ Dallas. Pete also said yesterday, like, if we need to, we have some solutions there. It's worth noting, and Stefania knows more about this than anybody, that if the Seahawks are going to add an outside player to their roster to be part of that solution, it needs to happen like today, if not yesterday, because as we know, with COVID-19 protocols, you're going to have to be 5 full days of negative tests before you even have the opportunity to join a team. So for those that are wondering, hey, could they, you know, later on this week, give Marshawn Lynch a call, maybe try to sign CJ Procise, who was cut by the Texans yesterday. I'm going to tell you, tap the brakes on such an idea. I think it probably is going to wind up being an in-house solution. More to come on this again in the waiver wire column. I still see
who they have on their practice squad, but I would think DJ Dallas, like, if they had to play today,
yeah,
DJ Dallas would be their starting running back.
But it sounds like there's hope for Carlos Hyde. So, and we're keeping our fingers crossed there,
and
because
potentially Chris Carson too, by the way. I mean, I know it's Stephania, but I mean, like, yeah, remember when he got rolled over in Dallas, right? And we were just like, oh, could this be played against Miami that Sunday? Like, he is one of the toughest guys.
It makes me so nervous. Like, I hope that it's not just he's tough and we'll let him go, because that's when these particular injuries can turn sideways.
Honestly, maybe they just throw the ball every play. That seems to work for them pretty effectively.
Hey, they got Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's
There's
right.
Your running back.
Just a bunch of sweeps to DK Metcalf.
And you know who they play this week?
Try to get somebody
like,
to catch
they
up
don't need any running backs.
The 49ers.
They don't need any running backs.
Big matchup on Sunday. 49ers winning that game, by the way. Stephania, let's move along here to the Eagles, who got some good news finally yesterday.
Yeah, they kind of matched the 49ers injury for injury, but Jalen Reagor, their talented rookie wide receiver, who we thought would have a big role, given that Alshon Jeffrey wasn't going to be ready to start the season. We didn't know about DeSean Jackson. And Marquise Goodwin had opted out for the year. And Jalen Reagor injured his shoulder in the preseason, is able to make it back to start, and then suffers a thumb injury in week 2 and ended up having surgery to repair a torn UCL in his thumb. This is the same injury, by the way, that Drew Brees had surgically repaired last year. But obviously, as a receiver, you need to be able to catch it and show ball control before they let you back in the game. He was activated from injured reserve this week, so now the 21-day window is open. And I think a lot will depend on how he looks in practice, but potentially, possibly available this week.
I don't know if I missed it anywhere in the show note about Christian McCaffrey. I do think it's worth noting because, and it's fun, you can certainly contribute anything else that I'm missing here. He was with the team on the practice field yesterday.
Wearing a very red jersey and standing a lot.
However, the team did not officially designate him to return yet.
Right.
So,
and the game is Thursday.
But this was a step. I mean, this is the first time we've seen him out there with his teammates. So I think there's progress to note, but I also don't want people to have the expectation of him playing in week 8.
But I think they're leaving it murky, because there's a lot of conversation around it, right?
Sure.
But yes, they have said before that they want to see him full practice before they actually place him into a game situation. And you mentioned it yesterday, Field. What do Thursday night practice weeks look like? They're not usually very intense, right? So I'd be surprised if it's this week.
I'm with you there. And we'll see about week 9. We'll see. We're going deep here, Stephania.
yes,
Virgil Green.
But he scored a touchdown.
That's right. Virgil Green has an injury right now.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown and he paid a price for it. Sprained his ankle. It did not look good. He was not able to come back into the game. And it sounds like this, too, will be a multi-week injury for Virgil Green.
Is Hunter Henry okay? Anything that we not, is there something there or is he good?
I have to get back to you on 100%.
Okay, I think everything's okay. So anyways,
I saw him leave the game.
You know, it's a lot of times guys leave the game and then you don't know till midweek if they're really okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, right. Matthew has someone he wants to talk about.
I want to talk about Donald Parham, AAF superstar. Not an AAF superstar.
XFL.
XFL with the Dallas Renegades. I believe that was Bob Stoops' team. The Dallas Renegades. I was a big Renegades fan. 24-307, 4 touchdowns in 5 XFL games with the Renegades. Parham can play. Caught the touchdown last week as well. And so, look, this is a red-hot offense. This is a red-hot offense. We're talking fantasy-wise, obviously. And, like, Justin Herbert can play, right? I mean, I don't think any of us disagree about that. And so, you know, anyway, I'm just saying, especially if Hunter Henry were to be out, and just because tight end is such a wasteland this year. I'm just telling you, as somebody who watched a lot of XFL, Donald Parham can play. He's a nice player, had success there. A lot of people thought he was actually the best offensive player, not named PJ Walker, in the XFL. And I don't know, just it's an interesting landing spot. And with Virgil Green out, maybe there's more snaps and a chance for him to earn more playing time. Just a name for deeper leagues, especially given the fact that, listen, Hunter Henry is somebody who's dealt with injuries throughout his career, even if he is fully healthy right now.
All right, deep league consideration for those looking for some tight end help. And that pivots us perfectly to our quarterback big days of note in Week 7 and a couple of slumpers that we'll have to dissect in just a second. Let's begin, though, with Justin Herbert, who was quarterback one for the week in Week 7. 347 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 66 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown, good for 38.5 fantasy points. He was started in 41% of leagues. That number needs to be closer to 91% of leagues going forward. Because as I look at the rest of the season schedule, and I don't like to be the person that is looking at every single week ahead when it's only week 8, but as I look at their schedule going forward, there's not a single defense that on paper right now, as they are currently constructed, would be a fade week for me with Justin Herbert. Not a single one.
Totally agree. Here's the other thing about his production. I mean, so you know, not everyone gets to watch every game. It's legit, right? Because sometimes you see numbers like this and you're like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, it's Bortles. Like, he's kind of Bortling his way to big fantasy numbers. People forget that, right? There are some quarterbacks who aren't necessarily great NFL quarterbacks, but put up big fantasy numbers just because, you know, they're in these sort of these shootout games and there are terrible games. Like, that ain't the deal with Justin Herbert. Herbert, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's a small sample size, but I don't know. You watch and you're like, okay, that kid's special. Can make all the throws.
If you've seen more of Joe Burrow than Justin Herbert, which is definitely possible, especially, sure, you know, with the East Coast and him being the number one overall pick, I think Herbert's been more impressive. And I don't want Bengals fans to torch me for that. I think it's probably just true.
Listen, I would argue that he certainly has a better offensive line, Herbert does, and maybe, you know,
really?
Better. Yeah, I think so.
I'll put it this way. It may be, but that's damning with the faintest of praise.
Yeah, fair. I mean, like, I understand. It's close, but make no mistake, Herbert, we agree on this. Herbert's awesome. Like, he's legit. And you think about this, like, it's like they've got some real weapons there, obviously. And
do they? I mean, they do, but like, he's also throwing touchdown passes to Jalen Guyton out of nowhere.
I kind of like Jalen Guyton. I just picked him up in our dynasty league.
I guess my point is that like these are players.
But he's
making guys look good. Like, we're already 100% talking about players.
Like Mike Williams. Mike Williams, who was a top 10 overall pick in the NFL draft and had a checkered career, and then all of a sudden, you know, has a career game last Monday night, right? I mean, Keenan Allen, who was just like, oh boy, did we mess up drafting him with Tyrod out there? Keenan Allen looks like Keenan Allen, capital letters Keenan Allen again.
He might be wide receiver 3 right now for me.
Yeah, I mean, right?
But besides DeAndre and Devontae, is there anybody you prefer at wide receiver than Keenan Allen right now? Maybe Adam Thielen?
DK Metcalf. I'm still in on DK Metcalf. But like, I mean, like,
5% target share.
I know. It's insane.
Over, I mean, Justin Herbert.
It's insane.
He's got four passes.
Don't you feel like Jeremy Lundbed should offer me more than a third round pick for him in our dynasty league? He got a second round pick. Now I'm like, dude, Keenan Allen is crushing. Like, what are you doing to me here? So anyway, just a quick shout out to my buddy Jeremy.
Well, Keenan's like 37, and this is the final year of his contract, right?
Oh, no, he's 28. Yes.
He just had a 4-year extension.
Yes, exactly.
So he's going to play with
Justin Herbert
for
the next. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess maybe a fourth will do it. Anyways,
and I'm just like, dude.
Justin Herbert is the deal, the real deal, and nothing but the real deal. He is going to be special for that Chargers offense. By the way, Joe Burrow's great too. I promise you, Bengals fans. I'm just saying, for perspective on how good Justin Herbert has been, think Joe Burrow and maybe just even a little bit better.
For the season, he is averaging over 25 fantasy points per game, 25.2. In 2019, only Lamar Jackson and Chris McCaffrey would have averaged more, at least 290 passing yards in 4 of the 5 starts. Like, the stats match the eye test. Like, the dude is legit, and we don't need to do it now, but maybe at some point this week we should do a name game. It's just like, rest the season, because I'm with you. That schedule's ridiculous. Like, there's not a lot of quarterbacks I'd rather have the rest of the way than Justin Herbert.
Agreed on that. By the way, let's rip through a couple of quarterbacks. We have to get to the waiver wire, of course. And we could be quick here on Baker Mayfield. Had a great game this past week. 29.8 fantasy points, 5 passing touchdowns. He was awesome. He proved a lot of people wrong. His schedule coming up, Raiders, bye, home to the Texans, and then Philly. 3 matchups I think you actually are okay with
on
paper.
Sure, sure.
I'm not there yet, Matthew, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's one really good game. Second of all, like, just like, process right now. Like, so this week, he's not going to crack my top 10. Okay? Not even my top 12.
Fair.
If he has a great game again this week, then he goes on a bye.
Right.
So, like, you're talking about probably at the earliest using Baker Mayfield in week 10.
Right.
And then, like, what if he doesn't have a great game this week? What if he has, like, 17 fantasy points? So my point is simply that some of this is what the numbers tell you, and some of it is just like common sense and logic here. Like,
yeah,
if you can't use a guy until week 10, I think you're fine passing on.
He has 3 career games, 3 with 25 or more fantasy points, all 3 against the Bengals.
He's a bye week villain. Bobby Phelan. Yeah, so. A couple of players that are slumping because we do have to get to the waiver wire and do so in earnest. Josh Allen, Matthew, it's been three straight average games. Now, I know he had 307 passing yards this past week, 61 rushing yards. Awful. So we still got you 16.4 fantasy points, but zero touchdowns for them.
So annoyed. Like, I'm in this, it cost me a win. Like I'm in this Agbo superhero league, right? Yeah. That I do for charity. And I'm playing Karen Gillan, who played Nebula. And I was great actress, and I was projected to beat her by like 30 points. Yeah. Josh Allen does nothing. Chris Carson and Allen Robinson both leave their games early. I lose by four. Ouch. I'm very bitter. Barry. But Josh Allen, it's interesting. That team has gone how Josh Allen has gone. Right. Like I was crushing early on. Last couple of weeks, it's been a little bit of a tougher sled.
But you know what? It's going to be fine.
Think so?
Look at the schedule. New England, Seattle, at Arizona. Like those three games right there should be get right opportunities for Josh. But
so should have the
those
Jets.
Were Jets. Yes.
The Jets should have been a get right opportunity.
I just think bad red zone execution from them. I'm not counting on it being that bad again this upcoming week. Still inside. He's very much inside my top 10 for this upcoming week against the Patriots.
So would you recommend him as a buy low? Then you think of that schedule, right?
Hard time to be a buy low or a sell high in quarterback this year.
I know. We
talked about this, right? Like, it's just really hard to construct quarterback trades this year because you've got like 15 or 18 quarterbacks that are good this season.
That's right.
And that it's going to, like, someone's not super motivated to get rid of Josh Allen or acquire him.
But right just for forward thinking people here, is because we've seen him being inconsistent. If what Field says is right and that Josh Allen does crush New England, Seattle, at Arizona bye, that's the next four. Look after that very quickly. Chargers, at 49ers, Steelers, at Denver in December, right? At New England, okay, fine. And then Miami in week 17, I believe. So, like, it gets after his bye, it gets really, really tough. And so, just again, if he has like one or two big games, something to think about. Again, it depends on your sort. But if like you just picked up Justin Herbert or somebody else and you have another good quarterback, maybe think about, you know, waiting a week or two and then selling high, because after the bye week, it's not as pretty for Josh Allen.
Quickly on Cam Newton, minus 0.2 fantasy points this past week. You just got to wait this out, right? Like, and what I mean wait this out is that if you have him as your starter, you're 1,000% replacing him this week.
Yes.
If he's on your bench, the only way he gets back into your starting lineup is if he rips off like three straight good games. I mean, the Patriots season is obviously, it may have already teetered, but it's teetering right now. And they are most likely going to go as far as Cam Newton can take them. And we saw Cam in the first really 3 weeks of the season, Matthew. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
He was a top six quarterback in two of his first three games. We're only 3 weeks removed from that. And it's not like the Patriots have a bunch of different players now than they had before. There is some evidence to suggest that he could get back on track. But until he does so, you're not starting Cam Newton.
Right. The question just becomes, the fact is that four out of five games, you know, he had the crazy game against Seattle. Okay, fine. Take that one out of that. Four of the other games, he's under 165 passing yards in four out of five games this season that he's played, right? I mean, so the question is he going to start running? Early in the season, he was running. You're like, that Cam is back.
Yeah, he's still running a lot.
So it's been inconsistent, yes.
Yeah, I guess my point, I think I'm kind of on it here. Like, there is a possible, like, doors exist for Cam to walk through where he does end up becoming a big-time fantasy asset again.
Right.
Doors also exist, and there might be more doors, where he does not have any fantasy value as a starting quarterback other than a deep league bye week fill-in in a good matchup.
1,000%. I will say this. If Cam Newton is your only quarterback right now, that's a problem.
Correct.
You need to either go to the waiver or you need to try to pull off one of those quarterback trades that Field says is not easy to do this year. But like, if you have two quarterbacks, find the person in your league that has Cam Newton and pick up a phone.
Offer up. All right, Daniel, what do you got for us?
So I don't know if you guys heard this, but Tom Brady is about 30 fantasy points away from becoming the all-time fantasy point scorer ever in the history of the game, as if he needed something else that he was just the best at. But
right, yeah.
I was curious if you guys had heard this and if it changes anything for you when you're looking at Brady, you know, just long-term looking at his legacy.
It's a great note. For those that are wondering, who is he behind? Jerry Rice. That's it. This is PPR scoring. Only Jerry Rice is who he trails. And oh, by the way, he's going to break the record soon. But he might not break it before Drew Brees, who is right there nipping on his heels. Tremendous accomplishment. You know, we appreciate the brilliance of somebody like Patrick Mahomes. and Lamar Jackson, and there is a chance that those guys one day rewrite record books. I don't mean this to come across as any sort of shot across the bow at them, but one of the things that makes the, you know, the truly greatest of all time, the greatest of all time, is doing it for a long period.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's what you have to appreciate most about Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I mean, especially Brady, six yeah. Super Bowls, basically, you know, every major passing record or number two or number three. Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Well, it's so funny. I remember you and I sitting here at the beginning of the season, and we were talking the preseason about Tom Brady. And a lot of people, the rankings for Tom Brady were all over the board. There were some people that were like, and I was one of them. I was just like, there's some people that are like, ah, he's 43, new offense, whatever. I'm out on him. No way does a guy that doesn't run that old have any kind of fantasy value. And there were people like me that, you know, I argued that Bruce Arians' offense and the additional weapons, but it came down to this. And I said this, and I wrote this in my preseason love hate. Look, when it comes to Tom Brady, you either believe or you do not believe. I believe. I got into a whole argument on Simmons' podcast. You know, I did Bill Simmons' podcast, my friend, you know, Bill, and Bill, who's, you know, is as big a Brady homer as there is, but we got into an argument about his fantasy value this year, and I'm just like, look, with Brady, you either believe or you, you know, you either believe or you do not, and I believe because, listen, when you bet against Tom Brady, you lose, and he's the third best quarterback in fantasy, and, oh, by the way, he gets Antonio Brown. And, like, and we'll remains to be seen, like, sort of how that plays out, because there's obviously a lot of, you know, potholes there that potentially you know, the Buccaneers car could run over, but yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. Like, it's just another, like, how many ways can you say he's truly the greatest of all time? And here's yet another way that you
just
can say
one.
Yeah,
so I hope the track that Mahomes and maybe Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson is on leads to the, like, you know, all-time greatest discussions, and that's where I think Mahomes is probably one day headed. But part of what you have to appreciate is guys that do it for 20 straight years.
I'll just say this. You know, we talked about how Drew Brees is sort of nipping at his heels. Like, he's ahead of Brees right now in terms of total overall fantasy points, but they're close. I don't think he gets there. Give me Tom Brady over Drew Brees the rest of the season,
yeah,
fantasy-wise.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who argues otherwise. Let's get to the waiver wire, and let's just go through some names. We're going to eventually get a touchscreen involved to give you my five favorite of note. I'll start here with the quarterbacks, and it's sort of slim pickings right now for quarterbacks, and that's a good sign, actually, because we've been encouraging people to make sure that you have a backup option in the event that a game is moved at any point leading up to Sunday. But Joe Burrow is still available in 50.5% of leagues, so he just makes the cut, and Joe Burrow had a three-game stretch prior to Week 7 where it wasn't all that pretty, but he leads the NFL in passing attempts, completions, and is third in passing yards. For those that haven't heard, the Bengals' defense is bad. The only thing worse is their offensive line. They have to throw it a ton in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is the ideal quarterback to have on your roster as a fill-in for your starter or potentially use in advantageous matchups. Let's get to running backs, and again, we had an injury update earlier on in the show as it pertained to Carlos Hyde. But if he plays on Sunday, and I understand that you may not have that clarity by tonight, I still think it's worth treating him like a priority waiver ad and potentially a top 20 option this week. Because if he does play, that's where we will be ranking him. And you can still add DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, maybe even, depending on how those guys shake out health-wise. But I think Carlos Hyde is the priority there in Seattle. Jamal Williams for the Packers. I'm not trying to suggest that I believe Aaron Jones will sit this week, but a good reminder that, you know, these calf injuries are fickle. They can linger. They can also go away within 5 days. Maybe that's the case with Aaron Jones. But in the event that he sits again this week, you know what you have in Jamal Williams, which is a top 12 running back option. Not quite as optimistic on this one, but LaMichael P. Ryan is kind of a name to keep in mind. Played well for the Jets last week, and his arrow is pointing up in terms of overall usage. I'm going to talk about JaMychal Hasty again in just a little bit, but Stefania gave us all the injury updates on the 49ers. Hasty ran well this past week, and Jerick McKinnon was limited to 12 total snaps against the Patriots, as Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers came out and said it. We played him a ton in the weeks leading up to the Patriots game. We have to be mindful of his workload going forward. Couple of wide receivers, and we start with Sterling Shepard of the Giants. I told you on Friday I was surprised he had dropped below 50% rostered, but when you miss four games, sometimes that's what happens. He has at least six targets in 21 of his past 22 games, I believe, which the only exclusion would be the week in which he got hurt earlier on this season. Sterling Shepard definitely on the radar. And as we are looking to find a replacement for Odell Beckham Jr., it brings us to Rashard Higgins, which is our truly turning lemonades into lemonade opportunity of the week. And Rashard Higgins, they call him Hollywood Higgins in Cleveland, had 110 yards this past week for the Browns, filling in for Odell Beckham Jr. Can't expect that every single week, but if there is a number three wide receiver that now needs to become the Browns' number two wide receiver, he strikes as the most likely of the players that are currently on the roster. And Safanya told us about Deebo Samuel, who is most likely going to miss at least two games. Well, Brandon Ayuk, their first-round pick, is a player that I'd love to see get the work in which Deebo Samuel was getting the work over these past couple of weeks. What I'm talking about is all of those throws that are really just handoffs. Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball 18 inches into the hands of Deebo Samuel. In this case, maybe it's Brandon Ayuk. He is awesome after the catch. One tight end to note for those that are looking for one is Richard Rodgers. Still no Zach Ertz. He's on IR. Dallas Goedert, probably a long shot to play in Week 8 for the Eagles. Richard Rodgers had 14.5 fantasy points last week. He had 8 targets for Philly. We're going to do a touchscreen to rank these players in just a minute. But first, from the moment they're born, you do everything to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you look out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic, to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone is looking out for you. The XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM is where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conferences, and team news, analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to the championship specials and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info that you need. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/listen ESPNU.
I've got the fancy touchscreen here, and what I'm going to do is try to give you my 5 best waiver wire ads of the week, and we can sort through these if you have a strong feeling differently about these. We've got 10 options here up on the screen. Now, I may regret this one immediately, but Carlos Hyde would be number one for me just because the workload in the events that he starts is probably 15 to 20 total touches. He had 1,000 yards rushing for the Texans last year. He's still an effective back when he's given an opportunity. Carlos Hyde, if he's the starter, is a top 20 running back option for me in Week 8. Number two option for me is Jamichael Hasty. And again, this is the opportunity. I'm not saying it's a guarantee that he's a starting running back for the 49ers this week, as Stefania suggested earlier on that, hey, Tevin Coleman at least has a shot to play this week. But what I would tell you is that it's really hard to find running backs. So anytime you have the chance to potentially add a running back, even if it's for a week, maybe two at most, that is the starter for Kyle Shanahan, you've got a chance. So certainly Jamichael Hasty has a chance in this 49ers offense, a name to keep in mind. Number three is Sterling Shepard. We just talked about him. He was a player that was being drafted as a potential starter going into the season. The volume is almost always solid. Daniel Jones has not been great, and it's bad matchup in Week 8 against the Bucs on Monday Night Football. But if you look at other wide receivers available right now on the waiver wire and the guys that are rostered in as many leagues or as few leagues as Sterling Shepard, I'm just telling you, from both a talent perspective and also just an upside perspective, they are not the level of player that Sterling Shepard is. I just mentioned Brandon Ayuk, and part of this is the opportunity. Again, if he takes on the Deebo Samuel role, watch out. They are so thin at wide receiver are the 49ers, and basically the Deebo Samuel role is a guy that's awesome after the catch. Plus, he had 117 yards this past week. Brandon Ayuk is the real deal. Even if he's not just a clone of Deebo Samuel going forward, the guy is super talented in his own right. Number five for me is Joe Burrow. Again, we've been talking about him a lot this season for good reason, but if you need a quarterback, and we still have quarterbacks like, but not limited to, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady that are going to go on their bye weeks. Deshaun Watson's on a bye this week. Kyler Murray's on a bye this week. Some of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football this season have yet to sit out a game. Joe Burrow would be an awesome option to fill in for those players, for those looking to address them on the waiver wire. So those are my five ads of the week. Anything really notable stand out there that you would alter, either a player that I didn't include or somebody that you think deserves to be further up or lower down to the board?
You know what? I mean, Hyde, I might move a little bit lower just, you know, with Stefania talking about the fact that, hey, the injury may not be that serious to Chris Carson and that he's also dealing with a hamstring injury. So it's one of those things that I think he's more important for the person that has Chris Carson in your league than necessarily just as a general. Ayuk is the guy. Shepard and Ayuk are the guys that I feel like that have the best floor, if you will. Like, they're going to get used a lot. Hasty is one of those ones that, like, Hasty could be awesome. It's the 49ers. Hasty could also be, like, back in the practice squad this week. You just never know. I do like the fact that you mentioned my guy, LaMichael P. Ryan, and I'm kind of a Rashard Higgins believer. So I would add that there. So, yes, what do you got?
I want to transition out of waivers for one last conversation. Just thinking about that ranking conversation that we just had right there made me think about the Steelers wide receivers, right? We've got a trio here that's super talented, and in any given week, any one of them could be the guy. But I'm just curious, and I understand it's so difficult to project, but going forward, like, how is it that you guys break out this wide receiver trio of which one would you have number one, which one would you have number two, which one would you have number three?
Well, so Deontay Johnson's banged up right now. Did we get any clarity yesterday, Stefania, on his status at all?
No, it's still too early in the week.
So no updates yesterday.
But remember, I did say yesterday that after the game, he said it was just a bruise and he expected to play this week. So if you want to believe the player, he thinks he'll go.
So I'll make a call. I'm going to make a call, and you guys can hold me to this, and if I get this wrong, I get this wrong. But this is how I would rank them rest of the season as we sit here today, entering week eight. Number one, Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
Number two, Chase Claypool. Number three, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Wow.
So, and here's why.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, first off, I think Deontay, like, we were expecting a huge breakout this year for Deontay Johnson, and it's been inconsistent because of the injuries, but, like, the volume has been there. We know the talent's there. We believe this offense is there. So I'm there with Deontay Johnson. So now you're left with Chase Claypool or Juju Smith-Schuster. Honestly, even though that Chase Claypool's a rookie, we've seen it more often from Chase Claypool this year. We've seen one game. Juju's been good for one game, fantasy-wise. Right? We're just talking fantasy. We're not talking NFL skill set. Just in terms of fantasy production, Juju's had one good fantasy day. Chase Claypool has also obviously had multiple. So for me, it's Claypool because, by the way, I just think when I think about that offense, like, I'm glad that they finally targeted Juju a little bit further down the field last week, but I don't know. Feels like they still ran a lot of routes with Chase Claypool. I know it was a bad game, but I don't know. I'm banking on both talent and what I see, what their roles are going to be going forward. Well, that's my call.
We can reassess this going forward, by the way.
Sure.
Like, I don't know that we've got definitive information, but I think your instincts are solid there. I would agree with that for the most part.
I have one last thing. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah. We've got like 60
seconds.
So
I just want to take one quick moment here to give a shout out to Ryan Spoon, who has been a longtime friend and supporter of the Fantasy Focus 06010. News coming out today that he's leaving us here at ESPN. If you enjoy watching our show on Twitter, on YouTube, on any of the many, or on the app, you have Ryan Spoon to thank for that. And you have him to thank for a lot of digital products that you enjoy at ESPN and social interactions that you have here. But he's a boss. He's a friend. He's awesome. And we are all going to really, really, really miss him here at ESPN. So just wanted to give a shout out to him from 0601 Nation. He's been on the show before. And we've talked about the Spoonin' with Nate podcast back in the day. So anyway, Ryan Spoon, moving on. Congratulations. Good luck. We will miss you here, my friend.
Yeah, well said. Couldn't have put it any better myself. He is a star in this industry, and good luck to him in his newest endeavor. And thank you for all you've done for us here at the 06010. We are back on Wednesday with more news updates, plus anything else that might be fantasy relevant, including rankings for Matthew, Stefania, Daniel, the whole gang. I'm Field. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.